I want you to take a look at that first graphic, and then I want you to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 32. There, as I said earlier during the song service, I've been contacted by a lot of people reaching out to me via email, text messages, various ways, and my wife has shared things that she has seen on the internet. Other people have shared things that they've seen on the internet, people at Pastor Cooley's church and so on. And there's a lot of fear going on. I went to my office and got a drink and ate a little bit of a protein bar so my blood sugar wouldn't get low. But anyway, there's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety about this virus, and a lot of information being passed around out there. Kind of makes you wonder how we got along without the internet all these years, where we didn't have social media, where we didn't have the quick and easy way to spread gossip. We had telephones back in the days, and I guess people used telephones. But I can remember a sermon that I heard as a young man, I'm going to say a teenager, back in the 80s, that was actually preached here in this church. And it was a sermon based upon Bible prophecy that we were living in the last days, and the proof that we were living in the last days was by way of a story that this particular preacher told during this sermon. And what I remember it distinctly, because it scared me. I'm like 15, 16 years old. This is probably 1982. And I remembered it because it scared me, because I was afraid that the rapture was going to happen. I'm not kidding you. I was afraid the rapture was going to happen before I had a chance to go to college and get married. Not kidding you. So, but the story was, the preacher was talking about the mark of the beast. And he related a story, a rumor that happened out in California, where a lady received she was waiting for her Social Security check. She received a Social Security check, but it had like a piece of paper attached to it or something like that with a big warning in big bold print. Warning. This check cannot be cashed unless the cashier or whoever has their 666 identification mark on them. And I went, oh. But the story's not over. So the lady took the check down. This is the rumor now. The lady took the check down to the Social Security office, local Social Security office, in California, I'm assuming Los Angeles or whatever, Sacramento, and asked somebody at the office about that warning that was on that check. And she was told by somebody at the Social Security office that check, we're sorry, we made a huge mistake. These notifications are not supposed to go out until 1984. And then, boy, I really got scared because I'm going, this is it. I'm surely not going to go to college. I'm not going to be able to get married. I'm not going to be able to grow up and be an adult. The rapture is going to happen. The mark of the beast is coming in 1984. It didn't happen. And understand now, this was told, I don't know where this particular preacher got this story. I don't know where he heard it from. I don't know where he read it. My guess is he got it from a prophecy book, which was about the only way, I'm assuming, back in the 70s and the 80s, that information like that could be disseminated was through books. Not too many people had prophecy news programs other than Jack Van Impe during that time. So anyway, obviously it didn't happen. Not even close did that happen. It was made up by somebody. Who knows who made it up? Who knows where it originated? Who knows how it got to where it got? But I believed it. And I was, because I trusted this particular preacher, I was sure that the rapture was going to happen in 1984, which it never did. Other people have come since then. If you remember, those of you who are old enough remember during the 80s, somebody wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. And they sold that pamphlet for $5. And one guy asked the question, if this guy's convinced that Jesus is coming in 1988, what's he need with my $5? So when that didn't happen, the next year, the same guy writes a book, 89 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1989. And the point that I'm making is that people lie. People say things that are not true. They lie. They disseminate those lies. They promote those lies for various reasons. I have up on the screen a picture of the COVID-19 corona virus. It looks like a giant or a small microscopic moon or a little ball. And if we go to the next slide, where it says anatomy of a virus, they open up that little capsule there and tell you and show you what's in it. COVID-19 virus has several features we may be able to target with drugs to break it down, to stop it entering cells. And if you remember, I've been saying this for the past couple weeks. I taught a little bit about it up in Minnesota. I spoke about it while I was here. If you remember Psalm 139, verse 16, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And so all of the members of my body has a book in it written by God, and it's called DNA. And the DNA code determines how many fingers I'm going to have on each hand, how many legs I'm going to grow, how many arms I'm going to have, how many bones I'm going to have, the color of my skin, the type of hair I'm going to have, the color of my eyes. It's right now, it's still making proteins for my body. It's creating things that my body needs to regulate its systems. I ate a protein bar just a few minutes ago so that my insulin level is stable, so my body doesn't put out too much insulin, eat up all the sugar that's in my blood, and then all of a sudden I don't have any sugar in my blood, which causes low blood sugar, which makes me go, I don't know what I'm doing. So anyway, a virus basically is just a bundle of either RNA, which is single-strand DNA, genetics, or DNA, which is double-stranded genetics. But, and I want you to think of it like this. Think of it like if a church says they believe the Bible, but then they believe some other words on top of that. Some other words added to the Bible, like Catholic doctrine, or like the Book of Mormon, or like a catechism of some kind, or even a church's doctrinal statement, where people believe the doctrinal statement, even if the doctrinal statement is not supported with Scripture. I mean, obviously, I don't agree with every Christian so-called church that's out there, nor do I agree with everything they say and preach from their churches. And what they say and preach from their churches generally is directed by their church's doctrinal statement. And obviously, I don't agree with that. So what that means is, in my humble opinion, obviously some churches' doctrinal statements are wrong. They are dead wrong. And they have actually added to the Word of God. And what they've done is they've added poison to the Word of God. Because the Word of God brings us life. The entrance of thy words giveth light. When Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, he just said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't wave a magic wand. He didn't do a voodoo dance or make a voodoo doll of Lazarus or anything like that. What he did was he spoke. And the words that Jesus spoke was enough to make a four-day-old dead man come back to life. Now that, those words have power. Jesus' words have power. This Bible has power. It has the power to give us life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The whole Bible is to give us new life in heaven for all of eternity. But when you add something else to it, it ruins it. It destroys it. It actually turns what's giving life into poison. That's what a virus does. A virus then gets in the body. And let me pull up the next slide there. And I got this from a website that explained. I wanted to know how the COVID virus, because that's what's on everybody's mind right now, the COVID virus, I wanted to know how it worked. Why people end up coughing, why they can't breathe, why some people die. And this actually comes from a YouTube video explanation, because when I read the Wikipedia article, it was written for doctors, and I don't speak doctor language. So I had to have somebody dumb it down for me. And I watched a YouTube video of what the coronavirus, and it's similar to what other SARS type viruses do. There's different types of viruses. You know, we say we get the stomach flu. Well, that's an intestinal virus. And I'm not even going to go there what it does. But a virus like SARS, with the RS in it, means respiratory system. Here's what it does. Once the COVID virus capsule is inside a human cell, it uses the mechanism of the human cell from lung tissue to replicate itself multiple times. So what it does is the see all those little suction cup deals on that little ball? It uses those to attach itself to receptors that are automatically on human lung tissue cells. This is why it affects the lungs, but doesn't affect other parts of the body. But, it's just like I said, the other parts of your body are trying to work together to fight off this virus. So all the resources, all the food that you eat, all the water you drink, all the nutrients you take in, every part of your body is helping out fighting off this disease, which is why you feel bad. It's why you don't have any energy. You just lay around. And I'll explain the fever part in a minute. But what it does is it attaches itself to lung tissue. Once it attaches itself to lung tissue, it breaches the cell membranes of your lungs. Every cell in your lungs, it breaches it and then inserts its RNA strands into that cell. It uses your own cell against you. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. Think about what happens when families don't get along, or when churches don't get along, or when countrymen don't get along. What did Jesus say? A nation divided against itself cannot stand. So what this virus does, it uses the cell itself to work against itself, because it's going to kill that cell. It'll kill it. Once the COVID virus gets inside and puts its RNA packages inside it, then it uses the cell resources to make copies of itself, to grow, to duplicate itself, to make it worse. So instead of you having one cell that's infected with this virus, eventually you're going to have billions of cells infected with this virus. So what happens is, once it uses all the resources in the cell to duplicate itself, it kills the cell. Now, we're dealing with lung tissue. You got to have lungs. You have to have lungs to breathe. You have to have the spirit in you. Amen? You can say amen. I'll just think that you said amen. All right? But anyway, let me go back to reading it. It uses the mechanism of the human cell from lung tissue to replicate itself multiple times, making new viral particles called virions. So just think of virions as new virus cells. When the new virions are ready to be released, the host cell dies and they're set free. The cell membrane collapses. Then the new virions, the new virus cells, jump out. Whee! We're free! And they attach to neighboring cells and do the same thing. So let's say you get one COVID-19 virus cell in you. Just one. It goes right to your lungs. It attaches there. It makes five copies of itself. Once those copies come out, they're going to infect five new cells and automatically create five new copies in each one of those cells. So now 5 times 5 is 25. Now instantly we have 25 of them. 25 times 5 is 125. 125, I don't even want to do the math. But you see how quickly it can grow. The dead cell basically represents damaged lung tissue, which produces respiratory symptoms. Coughing. It hurts to breathe. Pneumonia-like symptoms. The body reacts to this invasion by raising the temperature of the lungs and the body. That's your body's defense mechanism. Because viruses, like bacteria, they only like certain heat levels. When the body raises its core temperature, it's doing that to try to kill whatever infection is in it. By raising the temperature of the lungs and body, inflammation. So think of God's word. God said, is not my word like a fire? Think about that. The Lord God is a consuming fire. Because raising the body temperature is meant to help kill the infection that's in you, whether it's virus or germs. While this may destroy the virions, the virus particle, it also destroys healthy cells in the body, which is why people die. If the body temperature keeps increasing, what will happen is, because your brain is made of proteins, those proteins, once your body temperature gets to a certain level, it starts damaging brain cells. It'll damage other cells in your body that cannot handle that kind of heat. So that's why some people will die of this virus. So now that I've explained that, now I want to go to Deuteronomy 32. Let's look at verse 32 in our Bibles. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? I want us to have prayer. You pray for me while I preach. It's maybe easier for me than it is other preachers. Pray for other preachers this morning. Pray for me. Pray for people who have this virus. Pray for people who don't have the virus that they don't get it. But also pray that we know the truth. That we know the truth. Father, I ask you to bless your word. I thank you, dear God, that I know that on the other side of that camera, there are people watching. Father, I want to be a blessing to them. And I pray, dear God, that you would allow me to be. And I pray, dear God, that you would work through my thoughts, through my heart. I pray, dear God, that I would speak the truth and do so in love and be a blessing to people. Father, I found out a long time ago that I don't like being lied to. And I don't like saying things that are not true, but I've done it. I've done it. There's no way around it. Your word says, let God be true and every man a liar. And that verse is true in every case. I'm not capable of telling the truth 100% of the time, but we know that your word is. So, Father, help us, dear God, with our fears, our anxieties. Help, dear God, those who are worried about what's going to happen to our country, what's going to happen to our jobs, what's going to happen to our families. Help us, dear God, to walk by faith and not by sight. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless the message, bless those that hear it this morning. And Father, let your word do what your word is sent out to do. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. I'm so used to saying that, there's nobody here. Say amen, Michael. Okay. He said it in Swahili, which is amen. Anyway, their wine is the poison of dragons, crew venom of ass. A friend of mine, Joshua Haynes, sent me the definition of the word virus, and I checked him out, and it's true. The word virus, it's a Latin word. It means poison. And I want to go to the next slide there where it says two types of virus. One that affects the body, like I described the COVID does. And what it does, it affects the lungs. Now think about this. The devil is the enemy that sowed the tares in this world. And I think all of the evil things that are in this world, like viruses and stuff like that, may have originated from the devil. We know that the world was perfect. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, before they had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But after that, then the world became corrupt. Their bodies corrupted and died, as did everything else in the world. It corrupted and died. Corruption is death, and by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So whether it was directly or indirectly, Satan is the one who introduced death and viruses and disease and sicknesses into this world. He did it by introducing lies into this world. And there's all kinds of lies. There's political lies. There's personality lies, lies about people. There's religious lies. There's government lies. There's all kinds of things. And I'll look at those in just a minute. But a virus basically is a lie. It's a lie that brings death and destruction introduced and added to something that is meant to give life. The two lungs that we have are basically our life. You don't breathe, you're going to die. You can go 40 days without eating, 3 days without drinking water. You can go maybe 4 minutes without breathing. And that's it. So the lungs are important. And the devil attacks what's most important. He attacks the word of God, which is truth. So there's the virus that affects the body is one thing. And Jesus told us, do not be afraid of the one who can kill the body. Be afraid of the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. So a virus that affects the heart or the soul of mankind is the virus that I'm going to talk about this morning. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21. Michael's going to put that up on the screen. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. I want you to notice this. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Which was not true. God had fed them every day with manna, and the rock followed them. We know that from the Apostle Paul. The rock followed them everywhere they went and supplied them water. But they were complaining that they didn't have enough. It sounds like people who, when they first heard that things are going to be shut down with this virus, they went right to Walmart or Costco or whatever, Tesco in England, and they bought out everything that was there. Because they're never satisfied. Especially Americans, we're never satisfied with what we have. And the Jews were not satisfied with what they had. They had food, they had water. God did not bring them out into the wilderness to die, but that's what they were thinking. And they started turning their hearts away from God. So here's what God did. They said, verse 5, there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. What was they talking about? The manna that God sent from heaven. The manna was Jesus, and the manna was the Bible. So here's what happens. Our soul doesn't want the Bible anymore. We want everything else that's out there. It's like I'm going to say used to be, but I still have it in my nature. When somebody, or I would get a book on prophecy, I would skip over where the writer was quoting scripture, and I would read what the writer was writing. I wanted to know what he said. Because I already know the scripture. Well, I didn't. I didn't know it like I thought I knew it. So it's in our nature to turn our backs on the truth of the Word of God and to go out after everything else because for some reason the Word of God doesn't satisfy us. You have to be careful of that. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And think about what they did now. The serpents, and these were not just ordinary serpents. They were devils. Fiery serpents. These devils came, bit these people, which means that their mouth penetrated the barrier of their skin and injected poison. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now we know that Jesus said this, he quoted from this, and he used this illustration in John chapter 3, and he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son." So what Jesus is telling us here in John 3, according and in reference to this particular passage, is he has destroyed the power of the devil with his lies. And how did he destroy it? With the truth. Let me give you something that's really interesting to me about most viruses. The reason why they call flu season in the wintertime, because in the northern hemisphere, in the wintertime, usually the sun is low in the sky on practically every day, and most days it's cloudy in the wintertime in America, in the northern hemisphere. So there's very little sunlight. During the summertime, however, flu season dies way down. It's not impossible, but it dies way down. Why? Because these viruses, watch this now, these viruses hate sunlight. They hate the light. John 1 tells us that the Word was God, but the Word also was the light of God. And the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The light of truth. Darkness, just like viruses, can't stand. stand the light. I can hear you say an amen in my mind. Say amen. So, the poison from the mouth of the serpent went into these people and it killed them. And let me tell you something. Lies destroy lives. Lies destroy people's lives. If you don't believe the gospel, if you don't believe the Bible, then you'll be destroyed for all of eternity in the lake of fire. If you don't believe what God said in this life, it will cause you much pain and may cause your own death. If people right now, in a time of crisis, a time of not just national emergency, but worldwide emergency, if people don't turn to the Word of God. By the way, that's some good news. Amen. Donna, the software lady, is telling me that there has been an increase in the amount of traffic going to the Pure Bible Search website as much as 11%. Amen. I'm excited about that. I like that. Why? Because people need hope. People are smart. They're turning to the light of the Word of God for hope to counter the lies that are out there in this world. The virus of lies that are out there in this world. Now let's look at the next verse. Job chapter 6 verse 1. Job answered and said, you listen to this now. Job 6 verse 1. But Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows. Think of how the virus pierces the cell. Think of how the serpent pierces human skin. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Spirit is life. Life is in the blood, the Bible says. Do you know what snake venom does? It clots the blood. And that look at what he said. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. Job apparently knew how snake venom worked before anybody else did. It drinks up all of the moisture that's in the blood and clots the blood and it kills whoever's bit or whatever. But the injection of poison will destroy a person's soul. Believing the lies that are told to you by family members, believing the lies that are told, I'm talking about the lies about who God is, the lies about the Bible, the lies about doctrine, the lies about what's going on in this world, believing those lies has the potential to destroy people's lives. Look in Job chapter 20 verse 4. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? So he's talking about the wicked and the hypocrites. That's the context. Then he says in verse 16, he shall suck the poison of asps, the viper's tongue shall slay him. So now, what does this passage mean? It means that God knows who the sinners are and who the righteous people are. And God always turns over the wicked to believe lies. You see, sin itself is a deceiver. Think about Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. And the devil showed up to Eve with his lies to convince Eve to go against God's commandments, to break God's word, to break God's law, and to sin and to transgress, and that brought death into the world. She believed the lies. And what happens is God has a way of taking people If all you really want is sin, God will let you have that sin, plus God will allow you to believe all the lies that you want to believe. Because there's enough people out there in the world that's telling them, and there's enough devils out there that's inspiring the lies. I want to back that up with Psalm 58, verse 1. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Think about it, Bethel Church. Do we speak righteousness? Do we speak things that are right and true? Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly? O ye sons of men, yea, in heart you work wickedness. See, I'm not talking about what you did in front of everybody that knows you. I'm talking about what you did behind the scenes that nobody knows about, that God knows about. In the heart you work wickedness. You weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. So now we have it connected here. We have lies connected with poison. So again, here's what a virus does. A virus injects a lie into a living cell. That lie that, watch this, that lie is meant to be reproduced. So let me cut down to the chase here. I've noticed in the 20 some odd years that I've been studying research, Bible prophecy, and then looking in the world to see what's going on in the world, seeing that there's a match in the scripture. What I've seen is a lot of barking dogs on the internet that bark every time some catastrophe happens, some shooting happens, a natural disaster takes place, a big hurricane or whatever. You have all these people on the internet that dream up stories that this is the end of the world, this is the tribulation, this is the rapture is going to happen. 7-year peace deal with Israel is going to be signed, and we're going to be out of here, or we're going to have to go through this, or martial law is going to be declared. They just flood the internet with lies. And those lies don't come from someone who believes the Word of God. They come from somebody who wants to gain from it. So what they want you to do, they're going to put up their lies on social media, on a website or YouTube or Facebook or whatever. And I'm going to list some of these. They're going to put up their lies on social media. What they want you to do is tell everybody else for them and help spread their lies. Because that's what a virus does, right? I mean, the person in our church that got the virus, that we think got the virus, we don't know for sure. How did they get it? Somebody else gave it to them. Inadvertently. Now, it's possible that China wanted this to happen in the United States. I believe it's possible. So maybe in some instances it was deliberate. And in some cases, most cases, it's probably inadvertent. But the bottom line is, if somebody gets sick and dies, what difference does it make? They caught the virus. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're deaf, like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. So the lies are the poison that's being spread out there. Religious lies, political lies. I'll get to those in a minute. Let me move on. Psalm 140, verse 1. Here's our prayer. As Bible-believing Christians, here is our prayer. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. God, don't let me fall for trash. Don't let me fall for the lies that are being said by anybody, whether it's related to this virus or not. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Selah means think about that. Pause. Like a musical pause. Muse on that for a while. Where does the poison come from? Their mouth. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. There are lies that are spread specifically to overthrow groups of people. A man may destroy another man's family by telling that man, some other man's wife lies. Oh boy, if you were just married to me, or if you would just come and leave your husband and come with me, I'll be good to you. These lies are trying to overthrow family. There are people who try to overthrow churches. I've had it happen here. And I do believe that there are people who are trying to overthrow our form of government in this nation. There is no doubt in my mind about it. And they're doing it with lies. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And then James said, James chapter 3, verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I've spent years since, I can never remember if it was 1998, 1999, when God basically brought me back to the King James. So let's say for the past 11 years at least, I've been trying to tell everybody that I can that this Bible is right in everything that it says, and we can trust what this book says. There are no lies mixed in with truths that are in this book. None whatsoever. We have to believe that. Whether we're here in America, or you're watching me from Australia, Canada, or Kenya, because some of the Kenya churches, this virus has afflicted Kenya as well. And there are false prophets everywhere who are trying to overturn and destroy God's Word in churches. This book stands against them, while they say, I've heard from God, I say, show me in this book what you heard from God. Amen. I heard you say amen that time. That was a good one. But it's about an overthrow of our country, an overthrow of our churches, overthrow of our families, overthrow of mankind, the overthrow of heaven itself is being done with the virus of lies. Now, backing up what I said a while ago, God, if you're listening to me and you think I'm full of hot air, more than likely it's because God has already turned you over because of your sin. While you sit online doing things you should not be doing, you're also spreading lies all over the place, hoping that others will share your lies. So I mentioned that a while ago from the book of Job. Here it is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Soweth righteousness. Righteousness is the Bible. The sower soweth the seed. The seed is the Word of God. Our righteousness is from this book. Not the deeds that I've done, but Christ's righteousness on us. But the wicked worketh a deceitful work. So, to be honest with you, all that lost people know how to do is lie. and cover up. Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to online? You read a story online. You spread it around because you halfway believe it. But do you know who wrote that article? Do you know who came out with that information? Do you know who that is on the other side of that YouTube camera video? The counsels of the wicked are deceit. If they are not born again Bible believers, they'll lie. Even if they are born again Bible believers, they are capable of telling something that is not true, albeit they may be mistaken, because let God be true and every man a liar. I'm not capable of everything that I say. I'm just not capable of telling the truth 100% of the time. But you understand what I'm getting at. You're spreading information or you're reading information out there from lost people, and God, the Bible has told you that the counsels of the wicked are deceit. I knew a man, the only other church I ever pastored, down south from here. He had decided that him and his wife, I remember one Sunday morning, they got it under conviction. They came to the altar during the song service. During the song service, they came to the altar. And I prayed with them. They wanted things right in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, we had a glory shouting time. Several months later, what I hear is he's wanting to start drinking again. And he's wanting someone to tell him it's okay to do it. Because he brought it up in Sunday school class one time. Well, I believe the Bible tells us you can do anything as long as it's in moderation. The Bible says no such thing. He was looking, what he was doing, I was a Sunday school teacher. He was looking for me to confirm that. Yeah, that's what the Bible said. No. So his mom and dad, who went to the church, they told me he's going around to his brothers, he's going around to neighbors, he's trying to find, and I said, he's trying to find somebody to tell him it's okay for him to start drinking again. Ended up not only drinking, but the area that the church was in was sort of a low income area. So he decided, since there were no jobs and he didn't want to cut wood for a living, he'd just go cooking meth. And that's what he did. Got his kids taken away. The counsels of the wicked are deceit. Proverbs 12:20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. The dreamers are out there dreaming up all kinds of political lies, religious lies, lies about certain people, lies about God, lies about the Bible. I'm telling you, people, you've got to be careful. Matthew 24. I'm going to run through a list very quickly of verses. Notice how many times in the New Testament we're told, be not deceived. Matthew 24:4. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Mark 13:5, Jesus answered them, began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Luke 21:8, and he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. That's some of what you're reading on the internet, isn't it? Oh, this is it. This is it. This is the happening right here. This is going to bring the tribulation in. Who wrote that? Are they saved? Are they born again? Do you know that? Well, Pastor, take a listen to this guy. Now, he don't use King James, but he... I'm probably not going to listen. If I listen to it, I probably will use it to expose that guy. Take heed that you be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man come among you If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That applies to the seed that you sow. If you receive seed from somebody, which is not true, and then you sow that seed to other people, and it's not true, guess what? You're going to reap what you just sowed. If I were to ask you this morning, who wants to be turned over to believe a lie? I don't know that I'd get anybody to say yes, amen to that. We used to sing a song in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above, looking down on us with love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They are deceived, and then they go out and deceive others. That's how a virus spreads. That's how the Seventh-day Adventist movement spread. That's how the Jehovah's Witness cult spread. That's how the Mormon church spread. That's how the Hebrew roots have spread and infected even people that I personally know. A young preacher that I was associated with turned Hebrew roots. How? A virus. Somebody infected his mind with poison. And he believed it. Now he's spreading it around. Titus 1:10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. 1 Corinthians 15:33, turn there. Turn your Bible, get your Bible out. If you're watching, you are watching me online. Open your Bible. Underline this passage. Memorize this thing. This is one of... I like these verses with 33s in it. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Now that is the exact opposite of 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So, you can either ask God to show you plainly, word for word, in this book. And if you don't believe that God has the answers in this book for you, word for word, I don't know what to tell you. Because I believe it does. I believe that God's word is alive in such a way as whatever issue of life you stand in need of, God has thought this out for you. And will lead you to such scriptures is that he will say word for word exactly the answer that you need to be given. That is exactly what I believe. That may take more than just going, oh, I see the word rod. I guess, Michael, you should have named your son Rod. Nah, I don't believe it's like that. Okay? It may take searching the scriptures like Bereans do. I get a kick out of these flat earth people. They said, do the research. Do the research. Well, why don't you search the scriptures to see whether these things be true or not? What are evil communications? Well, I just happen to have a list of them for you here. MSM, mainstream media. That includes CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, Fox, etc. Now that's in America. BBC in England. Canadian Broadcasting. Kenya Broadcasting. Australia Broadcasting. Wherever you are. Do you know that the mainstream media outlets in this country, all of them are owned by only 6 corporations. So 6 people in this country decide what version of a story you're going to hear. Don't trust that, people. Don't trust it. Evil communications come from politicians. All the time, including ones that you thought were the good guys. Back when Lisa and I first got married, there was a man running for governor in the state of Missouri. Webster, I think, was his name. He lost to Mel Carnahan. But he was a Republican, supposed to be the good guy. After the election, they threw him in prison and threw away the key. Because he was caught in some kind of scandal. The guy was a crook. Lied through his teeth. And I voted for him. Now, I know there's sometimes there's just no way to, you get lied to and you don't know it. I understand that. But if you don't know that you're lied to or whatever, don't spread it around. If somebody thinks they have this virus, what should they do? Not get around other people. Why? If they have it, they shouldn't spread it around, right? Politicians, entertainment media, movies, TV commercials, TV commercials, TV shows, Netflix, Hulu, streaming media, music, books, comics, video games, etc. All are geared toward the infiltration of how people think, especially in this country. Social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, Pinterest, Instagram, Snapchat, chat groups, blogs, vlogs, web news sites, etc. I have been, as I said at the beginning of this message, I have been reached out to by people who've said, Pastor, go to this website, look at this video, or watch this particular thing here. They're saying this is going to bring the tribulation in. They're saying this is it. And I explained to these people, I've been 20 years doing this. Since 2009, doing the Watchman broadcast. And in all these years, I've been watching the internet, I've seen people at every happening say, this is it. And then after that, they'll say, no, this is it right here. This is it right here. This is the event right here that's going to kick it all in place. No, now this event right here is going to, this one right here, this hurricane here, is going to bring in the New World Order. Then it was this, and then it was the next thing, then it was the next thing. Now it's this one. I learned a poem when I was in 7th grade. A boy employed to guard the sheep despised his work. He liked to sleep. And when a lamb was lost, he'd shout, wolf, wolf, the wolves are all about. The neighbors searched from noon to 9, but of the beast there was no sign. Yet, wolf, he cried next morning when the people came out again. One evening about 6 o'clock, a real wolf fell upon the flock. Wolf, yelled the boy, a wolf indeed. But no one paid him any heed. And though he screamed to wake the dead, he's fooled us every time, they said. And let the hungry wolf enjoy his feast of mutton, lamb, and boy. The moral's this, the man who's wise will not fill his mind with lies. Liars are not believed, forsooth, even when liars tell the truth. I'm surprised I remember that from 7th grade. A Becca Books, Twin City Christian Academy. There's always going to be people on the internet who are going to bark, this is it, at every happening. Pastors, priests, prophets, popes, etc. are evil, can be evil communications. False Bibles are evil communications. If you can't trust them, don't trust them. If you don't know them, don't trust them. Be critical of everything you read, everything you hear, everything you see. Now here's the good news. God promised He would lead us into all truth. Let me go to Michael. I'm going to skip over some. Here, let's go to the last three slides. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now you've heard that word, "The truth shall set you free," right? Well, it comes from this passage, but there's a something attached to it. And what's attached to it is, if you continue in My word, then and only then shall you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in God's word. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." John 14:15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." John 16:13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come." So where are you going to get your information from? Where are you going to find out whether or not this is it or not? Get it from the Bible. John 17:17. Jesus prayed and He was weeping. Remember, during this prayer, He's praying so intensely that blood is coming out of His sweat pores. And He's saying, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." 1 John 4:6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Ephesians 1:13, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." People, please, please, if you're going to believe something, believe what God says. If you're going to read something, if you're sitting at home being socially distant from everybody, they say the internet's lagging because everybody's online. Nobody knows what to do anymore. Read your Bible. And then when it comes to all these barking dogs out there telling you, this is it right here, this is going to be it right here, open your Bible up, because it's going to scare you. It's going to freak you out unnecessarily. Even if this is it, this is going to bring in the new world order. Do you not still have a Savior who loves you, who cares for you, who promised He would always abide with you? Why be fearful of that? Because I truly believe this. I absolutely believe this. My nature is I'm a very fearful person. Especially since, I've been honest, since my wife came down with cancer, man, I'm very fearful. Here's what I'm telling you. My nature says, "Mike, be afraid of this, be afraid of this." I have to go to God's Word to drive that fear away. And this is what I'm telling you to do out of love. If this is really it, God promised us He would not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Open your Bibles up. Read it. Learn it. Meditate on it. Speak it. There's a phrase out there, I'm going to speak truth to power. I'm not sure that I know exactly what that means, but I would suggest that you just start giving people Scripture to read. Amen? We're going to go to prayer. We'll be back online around 2 o'clock this afternoon for an afternoon service. But let's end this with a word of prayer. Father, You've dealt with me about believing things that are not true, about being caught up in things that are not so. And Father, there are things, God, that I've been presented with that I don't know if they're true or not. I don't know. And God, I'm coming to You now like I came to You when You first called me into this. When I heard the so-called prophet prophesy over this St. Louis area. And Father, I wrote down what he said, and then I went and I asked You, God, show me in the Bible whether what he said was true or not. And You showed me. He was lying through his teeth. So Father, I'm doing that same thing again now. If I'm preaching to anybody today, I'm preaching to me. Because I want to know what's true and what's not. And Father, the only person that I know that I fully trust is You and Your Word. So Father, would You show me, put it in my heart, God, to open up the book or let Jesus open it up for me that I may see and understand and read the real truth of what's happening and what's going to happen. But Father, You told us to not worry about tomorrow, to set our minds only on today. And Father, I know today that I have enough food to last me the day. I know that I have enough water to last me the day. I know that I have enough sunshine and air to last me the day. This much I know. So Father, help us, dear God, to lay our fears of tomorrow aside. Because we're spending way too much time worrying about tomorrow. And help us, Father, think of only today. And to pray for today. And to seek You out for today. As Jesus prayed to You, give us this day our daily bread. He did not pray about tomorrow's bread, but only today's. So, Father, I pray, God, that Your people would turn to You for today and its bread. Father, speak to our hearts, soften our hearts, enlarge our hearts, enlighten our hearts, and help us, dear God, to be discerners between truth and poison. Thank You, God, for letting us stream out our service today. I love You, and I thank You for all of God's people that gathered with us today. We pray for them, and we ask Your blessings on them in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. God bless you.